Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, we're going to go through those verses, and then we'll do Mark chapter 4, verse 20, and we'll have responding verses up on the screen. So here we go. I'll read the first verse, and you read alternatively. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you.
Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. In Mark 4, verse 20, let's read this together. But these are the ones who sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruits, 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's pray. Father, today, Lord, we're going to learn about the idea of not only being productive, but, Lord, the idea of sowing something into our lives so that'll lead to eternal life in the lives of other people. Lord, you want us to be productive, and you are the vine, we're the branches, and today we're going to find our identity, our place in you, that we may be able to bring forth fruit that will allow your kingdom to expand. Holy Spirit, give me the unction to preach today the word of God that will set people in the rightful place, that they may go forth and bear fruit unto you. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. By the way, turn to somebody, look him in the eye, and tell him this. So what? It's a marvelous greeting. Some of you are more sarcastic than others, but that's all right. Well, it should come to you as no surprise to you that the general nature of people revolves around the concept of receiving positive return on your investments. I don't know of any person that would say, oh, I just invest in, and if I get something back, that's perfectly fine. And if I don't, if I lose all my money, it's perfectly great. There's something wrong with you. Whether it be time or money or effort, it's normal to seek an increase for our efforts. Matter of fact, some of you came here this morning with an anticipation that God's going to sow something into your life and you will not be disappointed. Some of you thought it was going to snow you out, but the scaregeddon of snow in Portland is ridiculous. Yeah. Moving on. The good word of God is sown with the desire for the hearts of men to receive it and bear fruits of righteousness and advance the kingdom. Here's our questions for the day. Number one, what value have you placed on the seed of the word of God in your life? Is that valuable to you? And I don't want this to be an indictment. I mean, really, the reason why we come here on a weekly basis and we go to Rooted and such like this, it's the word of God that's centered around our life that will bring forth fruit in our lives. But what value do you place on that? I don't want to embarrass anyone, but when I go to Africa, which I'll be going again this year, some of the people over there, they will walk for 3 hours to go to church. And they say, well, their church services are so long, they go on for 2 and 3 hours. Honey, if I walk 3 hours to get there, give me something to be there for. Seriously. If we have a little one-hour martinizing thing, I mean, come on. Number two, does the soil of your heart vary with the circumstances in your life and prevent the word of God from bringing forth fruit? In other words, is it dependent on how you feel today or whether or not you're going to receive from God? Because if you had a rough week, I said, if I can just survive. But I believe the Holy Spirit is here to really do something more than survival. How about number three? Does the thought of being fruitful bring you joy or angst? Because some people are in tension, or they're kind of tense in the fact that, you know, the expectation is too much pressure on us. It seems like we're almost being intimidated. And that's not what God's desire has ever been. Well, God will do everything in your life through seed. Psalm 126, verse 6. And this is kind of an interesting verse. We're going to have to expand this. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Leave that up there for a moment. Well, that tells me that sometimes it's going to be tears. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult, but the last part about it, but they'll come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. In other words, sometimes you go through a lot of stuff, but it's going to be worth every bit of it. Amen. I thank God that I was not born a woman. I'll tell you why. All right, it has nothing to do with the other stuff. But women that go through the childbirth thing, the inconvenience for 9 months of suffering. My poor wife, when we had our first child, she had morning sickness every day. Every day till our child came. And then she went through 27 hours of labor. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. But I got the most beautiful daughter out of that. And she loves me, and it's really great. And every time I look at her, I'm thinking, oh, poor mama, what she went through. But it was worth it. And I want to tell you, some of the hard times you're going through right now, it's going to be worth it with what God's going to bring forth in your life. Don't worry about the hard times, the difficulties, the times when you don't feel like it. God wants to do something beautiful in your life. Good seed must have a good ground in order for there to be a great harvest. So your job is to furnish a good ground, a good place for the seed to land so fruit will come forth. That means that seed is sown with the intent to produce a harvest. Now, if you just came today and say, well, I hope Pastor has something good for me to say because I just had a really rough week. But God wants to produce something in your life that not just for you, but for someone else besides you. God wants there to be something sown in your life that it will produce much fruit, just not in you, but in the people around you. What about this? We must never underestimate the value of what the Lord is doing in sowing in your life. And on top of that, the seed of the word is always good, is looking for good ground to produce fruit. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to give God a good place for the seed to land this morning. Well, Jesus is the one who will bring increase. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. This is a good one. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. That is a double, a double trouble, scripture. You can sow good seed and reap good results. Sow bad seed and reap bad results. But whatever you're going to sow, you're going to reap. Amen. So don't be all upset about the fact, I don't know why my life is going so bad. Look at the seed you have been sowing. Amen. Look at your attitude from day to day. Look how you wake up in the morning. Oh, dear Jesus, another day. Oh, my God, how am I going to make it through this? And you know something? Your day will follow appropriately. You need to change your attitude. But more than that, look at it this way. The principle of sowing and reaping is the most basic principle of life, which means this. Deception in sowing occurs when we convince ourselves that what we sow doesn't matter. I remember this. I don't think everybody's too young to remember this. Remember that little phrase you used, sowing wild oats? Anybody know what that means? Yeah, half of you folks don't know what we're talking about. But wild oats, in case you need a definition, is when you're acting crazy and thinking you got away with something, and all of a sudden, here it comes. Because you sowed it back then, you thought you got away clean, but ooh, comes that bumper crop. And it will catch you at a time when you're really not ready for it. Because you thought you got away clean. Let me tell you something. What you sow, you're going to reap. But the good thing about it is if you're sowing good seed, you're going to reap good things. So how about changing the direction your life is going? And consider that. Consequences can be good or bad depending on what was deposited in the soil of your heart. What do you allow to come into your heart? Now, the word consequences sounds like it's always bad. No, it isn't. There are good consequences. So a good seed, a good thought, a good compliment, you will reap something of that same nature in return. Well, here we go. There is no higher standard than seed that contains the word of God. I need an amen for that.
Amen.
You'll never reap if you don't sow. It's interesting, the Bible, and many of you, I hope you have a reading plan or at least daily plan of going to the Word of God. But when you allow the Bible or the Word of God to be sowed in your life every single day, there is something that's deposited that will reap result. And sometimes, you know, I read that scripture this morning. It's amazing. It's really applying to my situation today. But I'll tell you what will happen. If you don't read it, there's nothing for you to reap. And you wonder why my life's so desolate. And you wonder why I'm not going anywhere, because you haven't put anything in there for the Holy Spirit to draw upon. Well, here we go. If we neglect to sow the Word of God, we will never realize the purpose, our purpose as believers. And here's another one. We must have confidence in that which we allow to be sown in our lives and the lives of others. Confidence in this. Now, I have a friend, and I'm going to leave it alone. But I want to tell you, he's had a lot of problems with a particular model of vehicle that he bought. I'm not here to try to slam a particular company that makes vehicles. But he bought a certain type of truck that will remain anonymous as much as I can. But he paid a lot of money for that truck. And so far, the transmission has gone out. We talk about brand new, off the floor. And let's see, and the torque converter went out. And the main shaft in the transmission went out. So far, since he bought, and the truck is 2 years old. He has now invested over $17,000 in his truck. It's supposed to be Ram Tough. I didn't say the name. Y'all think I'm lying. See, you believe more what they tell you than what God is telling you. And if you go on all their advertisements, you expect this, they will burn a hole in your pocket. But I'm telling you that we have more confidence in what the world tells us than what God is saying His Word is going to do for us. I'm gonna leave that alone because I could go down a road I don't need to go on today. Followers of Jesus are seed sowers, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Here's my question to you folks over here. I'll leave them alone for a while. What are you bountifully sowing? Or are you just kind of little here and there, here a little, there a little, everywhere a little, little? Do you know the reason why there's nothing really happening in your life? Because you're just kind of like sporadically just whatever. But these folks over here, they got it going on. Because they're intentional and saying, you know what? When I get up in the morning, there's something that I need to have from the Word of God, a deposit in my life that's going to set a direction and a course of where my life's going to go. David said it this way, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But you know something? You didn't put nothing in there and you are a train wreck waiting to happen somewhere. But sow the word of God in your life and some things will be different. Well, let me take you a little bit more on that particular scripture. It says this, we share the word of God as good seed to be sown in our hearts, are ready to receive it. If we sow a little, we'll reap a little. Some of us take the word of God like snacks. Here a little, there a little. Little dabble, do you? I know you know about Brill Cream. Some of you folks know that. I love taking all these things. It shows you how much you missed. See, I have forgotten more than some of you will ever know. You know why? Because I'm old. Don't be laughing at me because you may not get as far as I got. So whatever gets your time will control the harvest that you can expect. Let's talk about that for a moment. What's the master of your time? What do you invest your time in every day? What is the one thing that you just can't go without or do without? And I'm not talking about necessarily coffee. I said necessarily. I'm getting better. But we must be willing to sow the seeds of discipline, and that means some ways I want to help you in the next few moments of how we can restructure our life with sowing the right things. I want you to think right now of one bad habit that you have. Isn't that terrible in a church service? The one bad habit you struggle with the most. I don't want you to rush to the altar. I just want you to think about it. And consider this. Bad habits are easy to form, but hard to live with. Can I get an amen? But turn it around. Good habits are hard to form, but easy to live with. Flip it. Why are we suffering unnecessarily by not allowing the Word of God? It's just so hard to get up and read. It's so hard, this other type of thing. But the benefits, once it's established in your heart, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. You got a sin problem. Hide the word of God, guess what? The antidote for sin is the word. Amazing! The end result of any sowing is to bring forth good fruit in abundance. Well, what about this? Sowing in tears, we will reap a harvest of joy. Psalm 126 again, verses 5 and 6 put together. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who goes forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The very first part of this, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. You know something? Some things don't come easy. Can I get an amen? Amen. I remember when I was in school, when it was college or high school, it doesn't matter. Trigonometry did not come easy. Matter of fact, I flunked it the first time. I know, isn't that hard to admit? You can admit that you flunked. Oh, yes, honey, I flunked it big time. It did not register in my brain. But I could have made the decision, I'll never be able to get it. Oh, forget about trigonometry. Forget things in my life. I'll just never go through and just eliminate. And that's what happens to us. We make a decision saying, well, I just can't do this. I'm too stupid. It's not worth the investment. I'll just let it go on. But you know something? The devil will talk you out of the things that you really need to be successful in life. Sometimes you have to go through in tears. Sometimes you have to suffer through it. But you know something? It'll be worth it in the end. But we give up too easily. Well, those who sow seeds may encounter emotional struggles and opposition from the enemy. Which simply means this. We must be aware that the devil will do anything he can to keep us from sowing seeds that will produce a crop of righteousness. Furthermore, We will find joy in knowing that we have been obedient to the call of God in our lives. And here's another thing about it. Knowing we have done the will of God will bring us comfort and relief in spite of the plots of the enemy. I want to do something real quick. I want you, in your mind, without opening your mouth, I want you just to start counting to 20. I'll tell you when to start. I want you to start counting to 20. On your mark, get set, go. In your mind. I want you to stop and shout out your name. Shout out your name right now. You know what happened at that point? Your mind was on one thing, but all of a sudden you told it it's time to shift gears and do something different. You had your mind focused on counting to 20, but all of a sudden you were able to stop and refocus on something that you were told to do. In other words, you need to gain control over your mind. And when the enemy starts to bring something your way that is a thought you don't want, you need to bring out the word of God to counteract what he's telling you to do. In other words, you've got to start taking control over your thought life. Just like I took control over you for a moment, you're counting, and then I told you to shout out your name. You said, somebody says, I ain't shout out my name. I got to finish getting up 20. I took control over you. You said, well, that's, I don't know whether I'll ever go to that church again. You're into mind control. No, I'm just telling you how quickly the devil gets a hold of your mind. You were setting to count out to 20. You're setting to go some other place. All of a sudden, he puts something in there, and you go a different direction. I want you to tell him to start fixing your mind on the word of God, and your life will change. Amazing. Well, we will bring forth fruit, we mustn't allow ourselves to set standards for sowing that are not those of the Lord, which simply means this. We all bring forth fruit, but not all on the same level. I think one of the hardest things in the body of Christ is that people come here, and some things to some people come easy. Can I get an amen? It's easier for them. And somehow we will persecute ourselves, or the enemy will persecute us for that reason. I want to help you with that. The Lord will be the one who will give us the approval of the works that we have done. Not me, not any of the leaders of this house, but the Lord is the one who renders approval. Furthermore, comparing our fruitlessness with the others is a trick of the enemy. In other words, they'll tell you, you should be like her. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. And oftentimes, this is the word of God says 30, 60, 100 fold. Some of you will never be 100. What? I'm going to be 100. I'm going to show you I can be 100. Yea, verily, thou art a knucklehead. In Jesus' name. Okay. Do not compare your abilities with someone else's, because God doesn't. God knows how much you can produce, but I tell you, be at maximum production. That's the whole deal. Well, we must avoid jealousy tainting the fruit that we produce in contrast with that of others. And we can help you with that. The Lord will reward us according to what he has gifted us to accomplish. And unfortunately, we live in a society right now that is very comparison. Now they're doing some developments as far as those who have challenges in education and such. But it took us a long time to get to that particular place. But in the body of Christ, I don't think we've arrived there yet. But here's some things I might suggest. We must be realistic, have a realistic perspective of our capacity to produce fruit according to the gifts the Lord has given us. But here's the deal. Are you presently operating in your gifting? What? Gifting? What's that? Well, God gives gifts to people, and they're gifts. They're like, here, this is yours, this is yours. And we're going to do some investigation on that in the very near future. But the maximized fact of the word of God coming into our heart, it releases your giftings, not only for your betterment, but for the betterment of the body of Christ. Interestingly enough, there's always room for you to express the seed that God has entrusted you to. Well, let's get into John real quickly because that's going to be our text, and we'll finish this up rather quickly. We must learn how to abide in the vine of Jesus as a branch extension of his power. Now back into John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Let's look at those. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What does it mean to abide? I'm going to give you a word I think that hopefully should warm your heart. It's find delight in belonging to Jesus. Don't let the world intimidate you or talk you out of your relationship with Jesus like it's something secondary to what you're missing in the world. Abiding in Jesus is being in love with Jesus to the point of allowing his presence to dominate and fill your life with good things. That means stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to people who are abiding in the vine. Get rid of your hopeless homies. What? There are some people that are in your life right now that do not mean you any good. I did not say they're bad people, but they don't mean you any good. They will take you away from the very desire that the Lord has for your life. Consider this. We will always be dependent on the Lord. That's not a bad thing. We will produce much fruit as long as we stay connected. Now, what happens to people? They come to church and say, you know what? I think I just really need to kind of seek some things out on my own, and I don't want to get too chummy with the folks in the church because they don't really know me. I'm going to leave that alone because I could... It's a rabbit trail. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. But here's the key word. The Lord says this, and it's not an indictment. It's a truth. Without me, you can do nothing. The connection that we have with Jesus connects us with other people and allows us to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Don't ever get disconnected. You must realize the power to produce is in the seed. The seed will produce the vine. We are just as an extension of the vine, a branch that can produce and carry fruit in accordance with the seed that was brought forth in us. But it only happens when you stay connected. Wow. I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. God is just, but he's not fair. What? Equal rights, hasn't he heard about that? God is just, but he's not fair. Now you got to listen to me very carefully as I define this for you. Fair definition. Giving everyone the same seed to produce. God gives the same seed. There's no, shall I say, morphed out seed or some particular thing. Same seed, same word, same Jesus. But here's the part that you'll struggle with. He's just giving you only what you can handle. I think one of the most difficult things for all of us, myself included, obviously, is when we think we can handle more than we actually can. Don't raise your hand, or the reason why I tell you not to raise your hand, because I don't want you to lie. Or not participate as you should. How many of you have never taken on more than you could handle? Good, because you don't get to vote. I'll vote for you. The never part is I can't vote because we've all done it. And when we take on more than we can handle, failure is imminent. It's not like, you know, it's not a trickery situation. It's that we think more of ourselves than we are able to produce. But let's go a little bit further. God will only give you what you can handle. All right, scripture for folks who fall into sin. There is no temptation such as is common to man, but God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you'll be able to endure it. That means that any time we fail, any time we sin, it's not God's fault. Amen. God, you should have kept me from this. You have over interviewed only if. No, he says, there is no temptation taking you such as is common to man. That's the first part. Temptation is always going to come. But God is faithful. Now listen to this very carefully, and this will help you, and it'll give the devil the black eye he needs. God will not tempt you beyond what you are able, allow you to be beyond what you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Now stop right there. The next time you're plotting out your little sin thing, sin fest, there is a way out. When temptation comes, there's always a way out. The seed that God has planted in your life of Jesus' redemption in your heart will always have a way out that you don't have to sin. Amen. Really? I want to show some of you how you can do that right now. Well, don't do it now, later. After my message is over. Go through your whole thing of your contacts and allow the Holy Spirit to tell you which ones to delete. Because there's people in your contacts right now, as long as they stay there, there's going to be a sin problem. I think that's rather personal. I think I'm rather right. Because every time you and them get together, it's never good. And you should be, oh, it's going to be different this time. Boy, I got my armor on. No, you don't. No, she's not going to talk me into this tonight. I ain't going with her this time. No. Sister got it together. Delete. And I got to get along quickly because there's one little thing at the end that you're going to love this. Okay. We must learn to be good on any level the Lord allows us to operate in, which means this. Competition and jealousy will destroy the seed of the word of God in your life. If you start competing with me or someone else, say, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show her. I'm going to show them all. I got this together. You just lost the race. Because it's not about competition or being jealous. God puts seed in your life to accomplish his purpose and not your ideas or ideals. How about this? We must be thankful and embrace anything the Lord may want to do through your life to advance this kingdom. Now, this last little part, we're going to go into Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 8. And God will sow seeds in the lives of those who are willing to go through the process. And this story is much too long I'll have to summarize it for you. It's a story of a young man who is very, very gifted. And his father kind of spoils him. He's a gifted person. And it's the life of one who can be used of God. Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 8, just a few verses. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. They were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood up all around and bowed down to my sheaves. Isn't that interesting? And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Now, I want to tell you that real quickly. For those of you who don't know the story, it's that Joseph is a man who is going to be very gifted, very talented, and actually he's going to redeem the whole nation of Israel. But there's a human aspect in his life that needed to be dealt with. Just because God does something in your life doesn't mean you are the greatest person on this planet. Amen. And sometimes we get ourselves just a little bit twisted. And he says, oh, I had a dream the other night. And you know, I, in my opinion, this never would have happened if Joseph had knew how to shut up. But he didn't. But it doesn't mean that God wasn't going to use him. But sometimes we'll go through stuff because we don't know how to use common sense. Anyway, so the Lord planted a seed. Now remember, the seed that's being planted in Joseph is of God. How he handles the seed is going to be rather interesting. Okay, so, and Joseph needed time and trouble to reach his potential. And some of you are in the TAT right now. Time and trouble to manage the seed that God has planted, that has put in your life. Well, reflection upon this says that every seed that's planted must die before it can produce. Did you know that is the total summation of anything that's planted in your life? Except a corn of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it abides alone. The process you're going through right now, the dying process of dying to yourself, is totally orchestrated of God. You might as well say amen. The seed is good, but until it dies in you, it won't produce anything. And you're going to have to go through some stuff in order to produce the things that God wants to produce. Well, summarize the story a little bit more. So, and sometimes we have to experience what appears to be death to produce life. We'll go on to chapter 37, verses 24 through 28. Okay? Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal, and they lifted their eyes and looked up, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices and balm and myrrh, and on their way to go down to Egypt. Go on to the next few verses. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it that if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him into the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened, and Midianite's traders passed by. So his brothers pulled Joseph up from out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Listen to me carefully. God has planted good seed in your life, but you're going to go through a process. All of us will. And the reason for that is not because God hates you, but he's going to produce the things that come forth in your life. And there's some things in us right now that have to die before God can get all he wants to get out of us. Even when our life takes a turn for what we believe to be certain death, the seed of God is still alive in us. The seed of God is still alive in you. But Joseph had to go through some stuff because he needed to learn how to shut up. They put him in the pit. He didn't stay in the pit. He's going someplace else. Go into chapter 39, verses 19 through 21. Here we go. So it was that when his master heard the words which his wife had spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Some of you gone from the pit, now you're in prison, you in jail. But God's not done with you. You're going to go through some stuff, but the seed of God is still alive in you. I just took these little snippets because we need to really find out some things of what God's going to do. Even when your life turns from what we believe to be a certain death, the seed of God is still alive. And the seed of God is deposited in you for everything around you. And the Lord can produce fruit in our lives for his purpose, regardless of unfair circumstances. Because some of you feel unfair, all this stuff happened to me, it's just not my fault. Will you get over your whining and let the seed complete the work he wants to do in you? Prison is only temporary. It's only temporary. You say, I'm just locked up in jail. How are you not going to be there forever? Let me get you to the glory place. Genesis chapter 41, verses 37 through 41. We're getting real close here. So the advice was good in the eyes of the Pharaoh, in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this man who is a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Go on to the next few couple of verses. Then the Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all of this, there is no one who has discerning and is wise as you. You shall be put over my house, and all of my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. But that was the seed that was planted in this little brat. You know, I saw y'all bowing down to me. I see myself ruling over you. Jesus has to throw you in the pit, and then you need to do some jail time. But you're headed for the palace. And it's the same seed through this whole process. Worship team, come back up here, and I'm going to wind this thing up real quickly, because the seed of God that's in you today, I want to tell you something about it. We must be willing to produce a fruit in our lives based upon the seed that is God has placed within us. You can prosper in prison. You can rule in a palace. But you must stay connected to the vine to be fruitful wherever you're planted. Remember, we've been on this thing. We're going to take one thing home with us every week. Here's your selection. Here's on the smorgasbord of three things. Number one, are you in the place today that the number one thing you need to do is to prepare the soil of your heart to receive the word of God? In other words, this is going to be a time for you today. So I came to church today. I don't think I really got a relationship with Jesus. I need to prepare the soil of my heart to receive the word of God so I may experience salvation, that I can get to know Jesus and we can start on this journey. Number two, are you in a place today, in order for the word of God to take place in your life, that you need to change your priorities of how you use your time? Remember, you're only going to take away one thing, not five, one. Or here's the third one. Are you in a position today that you need to break a habit in your life that's hindering the word of God from taking you where he wants you to go? Well, that makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? And Jesus is here to do that very thing. God, the seed of the word of God is always good. What place are you at in your life today for Jesus to work in you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I want to speak a blessing over people that are here today. Because the seed of the word of God for you today may be totally different than anything anyone else has said. Well, I didn't hear that today, but there's something in your spirit that you're grabbing hold to, is it? And maybe it's the part that says it. What you've gone through or what you're going through has purpose. Maybe you've been comparing yourself. Maybe you've been in that particular place where you thought you'd never be good enough, or you've gone through some hard times where you just can't really get past the fact of, you know, how could I be in this place, and I've tried one or two times or maybe even more than that, and my life is incomplete, and I just need Jesus to let me know that I'm still worthy, or he sees me as worthy of him wanting to live inside of me. You need to get connected to the vine, and he's here to do that. The second group of people that are here today are those who just, maybe you spoke out of turn and you found yourself in a situation where you're trying to blame everybody else, and it's really nobody else other than you, that you just got ahead of the things that God had in store for you, but the seed is still alive. But then it has to die to produce the fruit that God always intended for it to be. But the third group of people that are here today, I want to just really allow the love of Jesus to be expended upon you, is I want to tell you there's great hope for your future. It's not predicated on your past. It's predicated on the goodness of God. And he can do what you thought was impossible. I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I'm asking for those people today to say, you know, Pastor, today, there's something inside of me that it seems like it's been so suppressed for such a long period of time. I haven't felt this way before, but it's more than a feeling. It's a knowing that somehow today, if I respond to Jesus, the connection can be made, and my life can be different. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for especially that woman that's here today that would say, you know, I tried this before, it didn't work. Or I tried to focus on Jesus and somehow the distractions were too great. But if I can just hear and feel the presence of God one more time, I choose to believe again. I choose to believe that God loves me. For the person who feels like they're just caught up in their addiction, they're caught up in that particular thing that they seems to be the fallback that keeps them away from having that relationship with Jesus, or they've compared themselves with other folks, Lord, would you show them there's hope for them, that they can be really mightily used to you? Because, Lord, the seed you planted in them through someone who told them that God can bring you over those situations that have kept you bound. But Lord, for the very last group of people that they just really need to know that they're loved by you unconditionally. There's nothing they've done, there's nothing they've said that will ever, or anything they'd ever do that will keep you from loving them, and you open your arms of love to them to receive them as one of your own. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that people will respond not out of guilt, but out of a desire to have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed still. If any of those categories are touching you, I want you to respond to Jesus right now. And this is not a trick. It's not anything of this nature. It's because Jesus loves you this much. You say, Pastor, I can believe that. And I believe my life can change today if I surrender to Jesus. If that's you, lift your hand right now. Say, you know, I want to do that. I want there to be a change. Lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else that says that, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. You can put your hands down for a moment, because in a moment I'm going to invite you up here. There are three more people that need to do that, and I'll tell you why, how I know you're here. The enemy's trying to toy with your brain, says, just wait a few more minutes, this thing will be over with, and you can just get away from here. But there's just there's a calling of God. And Jesus is saying to you, I love you so much, I brought you here today. And I want you to have an opportunity to respond to me. If that's you, not the other folks that have raised their hands, anyone else that needs to raise your hand, would you raise your hand now? Because that was just for you, that Jesus wants to touch your life. If that's you, lift it up high. I want to see where you are. Because Jesus is, yeah, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Okay, we're good. Now here's what's going to happen. The moment the Holy Spirit's already spoken to you, the thing you get to do is you get to respond to what he's done. So we're going to stand and sing the song, Lord, I Give You My Heart. And as we sing the song, I would like you to make your way down here. Join me down here with some other folks. We're going to pray, and Jesus is going to do a great work in your life. So every person that lifted your hand, make your way down here. We're going to stand together, and let's pray together and see what God's going to do. Everyone stand. You that raise your hand, come right now. Come join me. Come on. Come on.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.